Get service started here in a minute. I want to make a few announcements. One, we're under a winter storm warning and starting this afternoon. And from the National Weather Service, timing rain will continue and gradually changing over to a mix of freezing rain and sleet during the afternoon. Precipitation is expected predominantly sleet by mid to late afternoon and late this evening. So, that being said, we will not have an evening service this evening, and we will just have our morning service, and we'll just let the Spirit lead us this morning. We'll, any of the you brothers who have a word for us want to get up and share that with us, and we want to welcome our visitors. I have some of their names. We got Sister Michelle here with us today, and we're glad to have you here. We have these two ladies back here with Sister Talia that she's sitting by anyway, Sharon and Amanda. I got their names when they came in. And then somebody just walked in right here on the middle row. Could you tell me your name for me, please? Rick and Sharon Sand? Sane. Okay. Glad to have you here today with us this morning. Just make yourself at home and enjoy the service with us. And we will go ahead and get the service started.
I came here to praise you. blessings, each one. I just wanted you to know.
We are come to the Mount Zion, the Holy Jerusalem, right here today. I want to lift up His name, feel that wonderful Spirit coming in. We know we've got brothers and sisters in different conditions and needing strength and needing comfort today. And isn't it wonderful we can come to this place and lift up our hands and call on His name, and He's there for us? We're not like others that we not have a hope. We have a hope in Him today.
Amen.
We can call on Christ and say, Lord, I don't have the answers. I'm hurting today, but thank the Lord I can lift my hands to you, Lord. I can get that help that I need. I know where my help comes from. I appreciate having that opportunity. I really appreciate the band number today, Brother Talley. I think it went right along with what Brother Durham was talking on today, you know, to be a pillar in the house of the Lord, you know. To be a part of this work, to be a part of it. I was thinking, heard over the years, I'm by no means, and my wife will attest to this, and those who know me attest to this, I'm not a construction-minded guy, okay? I'm not a mechanic. I'm not. If you give me a hammer and a nail, it's going to end up looking like art because it's not going to work the way it was intended to. I'm sorry, that's not where God has put my talents. And I know that, and I'm okay with that now. But I was thinking about that, and the stories that I've heard over the years about buildings, about construction, about whenever things are going on and a new building is being constructed, you know, that there's different materials that are used in that. And many years ago, of course, you know, today we've got nice scaffolding. I mean, we've got some scaffolding that it looks, I mean, it's a true tool to be used, and you keep that. But many years ago, there would be different tools like scaffolding that would be built for that occasion right there. It would be built for if there were shipyards, if it was a building, they would actually build some scaffolding to help them in that process. There would be other tools. There would be, I know a story of Old Crook. It was basically a big pole, right? Something that was used to prop something up in that building process. The thing is, after it was all said and done, when the building was done, Old Crook and that scaffolding, even though they had had a great part in that building, they were thrown over and burnt. They were not a part of that building. They were not a part of what the final project was. I don't want to be scaffolding. I don't want to be Old Crook. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to be a part of this church. That's what we want to be in being a pillar in the house of the Lord. I want to be a part of this. You know, I was when I'm saying as far as hooking up with what Brother Durham was talking about in Bible study today, some scriptures came to my mind, and I'm just going to go right to where he was in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and continue on right there. It was speaking to me today. He was talking about being more in trying to get past these things in our flesh and growing in that. And if we continue on into verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed. You know, Christ, he was that stone that the builders rejected. He was that stone of God sent for that great purpose, yet those men didn't see it. That religious world in that day didn't want anything to do with him. He was no, that's not the stone you want to build on, but he is the stone, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And here's the verse that I was thinking about when that song was going over. Ye also, that's us, you and I, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that took me to what Brother or Sister Stewart, when she was playing that, you know, I came here to what? I came here to praise Him today. I came here to lift Him up today. Not just, you know, I want to have that outward manifestation, but I want my life to lift Him up. I want on that daily basis, I want to be that servant. I want to be a pillar in the house of the God wherever I'm at, in my daily walk, as I'm coming in contact with different people. I was also thinking about that. My mind, I really felt God dealing with me as far as, you know, being a lively stone. You know, and I'm not, and yes, I know I'm boisterous as far as when I get up here. Normally I'm a quiet person. I get up here and I'm just like, woo, and shouting and everything else. But it's just because when I get up here, I start to feel that Spirit. I start to feel God move on me. And I understand a little bit more about, you know, of old when the Spirit of the Lord would move on them, that, you know, God would, I want to be that tool. That was the other thing my mind was going to. I know I'm jumping, but years ago, for me, I'll say, but I'll share it with you. God was trying to talk to me about how to be used as far as, because I'm not really good at construction, I think maybe that's why God was giving me this. But I was thinking about it, specifically hammering in something. And like I said, I'm horrible. I cannot hammer in a nail straight. I've tried. I've listened to everything people said, and it still goes crooked on me. But I was thinking about that from God's standpoint. You know, thinking about God as being the architect. He's the one that designed everything. Christ being a carpenter. Hey, how's that work? That's pretty cool. Okay? And what am I? I want to be a tool in God's hand. I want to be able to be used, right? Well, I've told my children this before. I said, think of a nail. Okay? Think of a primitive style of nail. What can we use to knock that nail in? Well, I mean, just if I have nothing else, if I can just grab a rock. I mean, I can just go and get a rock and nail a nail in, right? It can be accomplished. That's going to hurt. Okay? After a while, that rock is going to leave imprints in my hand. It's going to be, it's not a precision tool, and it's going to leave damage to me, it'll look like, if you do it with a rock, it'll look like me with a hammer. Okay? So it's not going to work the best, but you can accomplish it. It can be done. And then I was thinking, okay, well, and obviously man appreciated that thought way back then, because he said, you know what, I'm going to put this rock on a stick and it's going to work better, because I ain't digging just knocking this in with a rock. So he put a, you know, primitive man, got a stick, put it on the rock, did a little lashing around it. Hey, cool, I got a little tool. And he's going to work, and you can use that hammer. But there's people like me, okay, that still have trouble with a hammer. But it's more effective. But what about, and I know this is going to sound funny, but I really, you know, I really feel about this. What about if I can be a nail gun in the hand of God? You know, what is different about that nail gun? It's hooked up to that, it's pressure, right? And there's power to it. There's electricity going on, right? Well, what about that sweet Holy Ghost when it flows in our life? There's power if we let it work that way. There's power in my life that I can put the flesh down. I can walk away from, I can lay aside malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. I can put that aside. I want to be that nail gun in God's hands. I don't want God to, oh, you know what? There's nothing else around here. I'll just use this rock. I mean, when God can use anything he wants. I mean, if he used a donkey to speak to Balak, right? Balaam, if he speak to Balaam, you know, he can use me. I mean, I hope I'm at least a step above a donkey. I'm just saying, though, I don't want to be a rock. I don't even want to be a hammer. But I want to be that tool in God's hand, that preferred tool. Why and how can I be? By just willingly submitting my life. By just saying, Lord, I need more of your Spirit in my life. I need that sweet Holy Ghost overflowing to where it's not just helping me, but it's overflowing into my brother and my sister. I want to be a willing vessel. I want to be, once again, a pillar in the house of God. I want to, you know, a pillar, you think of it, there's you got to be careful with that, though. To be a true pillar in the house of God means it bears weight. So I better understand also when I'm praying, you know, I want to be a pillar in the house of God. Next thing you know, there's some burdens coming on my back. Whoa, Lord, I don't like this. What's this about? Why are you putting these burdens on my back? Well, son, you asked to be a pillar. You said you wanted to be a part of my work. That's a key word, work. Okay, God, it doesn't say, you know, what's that old song? It's a battleground, brother, not a recreation room. God's not calling me over to play video games. He's not saying, hey, let's go play the Wii together. God's saying, I've got to work today. Are you ready to work? Are you ready to get your hands dirty? Are you ready to get in here and lift up my kingdom today? Are you ready to build this kingdom? Because there's other kingdoms out there being built up. There's other things out there. The world is building up their agenda. But in that day, when sin comes in as a flood, God raises up what? A standard. We're that standard today as we lift up our hands, as we praise Him. And you know what? I do want it. I do want it to be an outward manifestation. I'm not going to try to be flagrant with it and to be offensive to it. But if I'm here, if I'm sitting, and not just here at church, but I mean if I'm sitting like that in my life, what am I doing? I'm taking up space. Hey, I know what it's like to be a bench warmer. I was a great bench warmer when I played basketball. It's not that fun, okay? You can cheer a little bit, but you're not out there in the action. You're not actually, other than just going, yay, team. And a spectator can do that sitting over in the audience. And they get to go get popcorn and drinks. I didn't. I'm just saying I want to be a participator in the kingdom of God. I want to be a pillar in his house. I want to understand when he starts putting some of that load that I can say, okay, God, all right, I know that you won't put on me more than I can bear. And that's the other thing I need to remember. You know, I love that old story because it does. It's a picture. I can apply it to my life of that. We'll just say that I'll just use it in this context. That one day that I was having a pity party and I didn't have the grapes, I had the gripes. And I was like, God, things are just too rough. I'm just, this cross you've given me, come on. There's got to be a better cross for me. This one's got like, it's not even sanded down. It hurts when I put it on my back. Can't you give me something else? And because God is so merciful, Christ is so loving, he said, sure, son, come on with me. I got a room full, and I'll let you pick out the one you want. Well, I thought that was just the greatest deal ever, Sister Rachel. I think I'm going to get me a cross. And now see, you know, that my Adamic nature started working a little bit right there. Yeah, he didn't know I'm going to pick the smallest one in here. You know, I'm going to pick the one that's like an ornament. I'll wear it around my neck, and I'll still be bearing my cross, right? And I looked all around that room, and I finally found the one. I mean, it was just sitting right there. Why, it was smooth, it was small, and I thought, that's the cross I'll bear. He said, I can have every one of them. And I picked it up, and I said, okay, Lord, I've got my cross. And he goes, well, I said, you could pick any other one that you wanted. I said, I got it right here. He goes, but that's the one you came in with. God help me. God help me to understand my burden and what He has on my back today. That I want to bear under the load. That I'm not just coming in here to pass time. You know, we don't have a second service tonight. Well, that means I need a double portion right now, Lord. Pour on the buckets. I need some more today. Because I got this next week coming before me. And you know what? I don't want to be a leaky cistern and let it all get out. You know, if anything, because I've thought about that before as far as, you know, I don't want to be a gas guzzler in the house of the Lord. Okay, you know, I have a car that gets okay gas mileage, but it still seems like I'm filling it up all the time. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if you had a vehicle that when you filled it up, I mean, you could go for months on end? Wouldn't that be awesome, Brother Paul? Yeah, but praise the Lord on that one, right? Lord, grant it. Well, what about my own personal life? What about me and how do I treat the Spirit? Do I get a touch of God? Do I get His blessing? Do I feel like I can conquer the world? And then tomorrow I feel like I just got conquered by the world? Well, then what did I do? Where are these holes at? I think Brother Pryor was talking about that new wine bottle. I want to be a new wine bottle. I want to be flexible. I want that Spirit to flow in me and to stay in there. So that way it can help me so that I can overcome these things. And like I said, I know I'm all over the place right now. I'm connecting here and there. But my main thought really is just I want to praise Him. I want to serve Him with all my heart. I want to lift Him up because things are difficult. You know, what my sister came up here for some strength on, you know, I haven't had to go through that. But I can feel enough of your pain. I can empathize to the point of knowing how I might feel if that occurred. And I can say, God, help my sister, Lord. How can I be a help to my sister? I can pray a little bit stronger for her. I can say, God, lift her up today. Because I know He is the answer. He is the answer. You got a question? He's the answer. Whatever the question is, He is the answer. It's just, am I willing to accept the answer? Am I willing to let that answer work in my heart? Am I willing to say, God, I know that You're the answer. I don't have the answers to all my problems. You know, Chelsea and I, we had a week. I don't want it back, okay? We had it, and it's over, and hopefully we're moving forward past it. I mean, it was just things came, and at the end of the day, our health is fine. We have a roof over our head. We have plenty of food in the pantry, even though I go to it and still say, what do I want to eat? We don't have anything to eat, and it's full. Don't say that y'all haven't done that. Come on, come on. Don't leave me hanging on that. I know. Okay, you know, you stand at the refrigerator, and you're getting that cool breeze, you know, and it's full. Yes, I do that. I do that. But I don't want to be like that. I know where my help comes from. I know where my strength comes from. And another thought that I wanted to share, I was thinking about, I was going to finish off here in Peter, but I was thinking about the ark. You know, I was just thinking on, I don't know why construction was on my mind today. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm not a construction-minded person. I deal with trash. You know, you can throw it away. It has nothing to do with it being, oh yeah, throw it in the dumpster. You know, here you go. I can recycle too. But construction's not my mind, but I was thinking about, once again, I was thinking about Noah's Ark. You know, in that day, you know, I've thought about that story a lot of times in the Bible about how God has told Noah this and he's building the Ark. We're talking about over 100 years. How many different people came along there and looked at that Ark? Maybe even, hey, Noah, this looks cool. I'll help you. And they might have even been there for 5 years. Now, 5 out of 100, you know, that's not many years. But still, they might have put some work into it. Next thing you're like, man, I ain't seeing no rain, brother. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going fishing. You know, I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with this anymore. But that ark was the most important project in that day. Noah was preaching that message. You know, hey, you need a guy to get on with this. Come on. Something's going on. There's coming a storm coming. There's going to be some rain come. You better be prepared. But in that day, only those 8 souls got on that ark. You know what? I want to be in the ark. I want to be inside. I want to be a part of this project. I want to be, and not just 5, 10, 15 years of that. I want to be there in the end. What's the Bible say in relation to that? He that endureth to the end, endureth to the end. I've got to be here at the end. And it may not be the end of all, but it's the end for me. My life, I need to be here through it all. I need to be a part through it all. And so those are just some of the thoughts that I had, but I wanted to go ahead here in relation to this in lively stones. Back in verse 5, it goes back to a house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You know, once again, that's that answer that I have to keep going back to. Am I building on another foundation? Am I going to my own mind? Am I leaning on my own understanding? Or am I trusting in Him? Am I building on that true foundation? Or am I going back into my flesh, Brother Durham? Am I going back into my own mind? Am I going back into what I think is right? Or am I leaning on the Word of God? Am I listening to His ministry? Am I listening to that still, small voice like Elijah when he finally heard that, "There's God. There's God." God was in those other things too. It wasn't not for Elijah though. Elijah had to wait for that still, small voice. That's what I want to have my ears attuned to that. I want to have my eyes ready to see. And then, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." You know, I don't want to always put that off on just saying like the world or other people. I want to make sure that I'm not falling into that right there. I want to make sure that, is my eye on that rock? Am I staying focused? You know, or else he becomes a stumbling offense to me. You know, I start getting in that pity party mode and start saying that the most, one of the most, I will say, ludicrous or unnecessary words that we can use in the context. Why? Why? God, why did that happen to me? God, why are you letting this go on? God, why? You know, who am I, number one, to question the Master? Who am I to question Him? And when He's looking back at me and going, "Well, you know what? I created you guys upright. You're the one that sought out many inventions. I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. I sent my Son to you. I sent Him to die for your sins. I sent Him to restore that which He did not remove." So why am I asking why? If I'll just look at Him and go, "Lord, you have the answers. I don't need the answers. I just need to learn to walk by faith. I need to learn to say, it's not necessarily why, it's just where, Lord. Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go?" If I'll listen, if I'll just be a little more sensitive to your touch, a little more apt to hear what you're saying, I'm not going to worry about the why, because I'm going to be following Him. And I know if I'm falling behind Him, I'm where I need to be. I don't need to be 15 steps out ahead of Him. I don't need to be 200 steps behind Him. I need to be right there following Him. That's where my safety is. It's with my Lord. "But ye," and I love this right here, "but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." This is us today, church. This is us. You know, I happen to be a person that knows how to self-degrade. I can put myself down with the best of them. And in my flesh, I know in the flesh, truly in what is Adam in me, what is that Adamic nature, that is nothing. But I don't want to discount what God has done for me. I don't want to discount that the Holy Ghost is residing in me. I want to lift that up. You know, he said what? He said, we're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. That's something to get excited about today. We're not, you know, we're not paupers. We're in the king's house. We're playing marbles with gold. Don't let me count that for granted. Let me understand how precious it really is and how I have been blessed. You have been blessed. If you're in this building, not because you're hearing my voice, but because we get a chance to be here in God's house today to feel His Spirit. When things are going down, when Brother Daniels feels, you know, I'm going to do this over the pulpit. Brother Daniels, I wasn't even a rock in God's hands the other day. I was praying and I was, I can't remember who said this not too long ago, but they were talking about if you are having one of those days when it feels like everything is coming against you, then you just need to be, why don't you be praying about someone else? Why don't you seek someone else's wealth? Quit worrying about your problems and start thinking about them. You came to my mind and I know I felt, why don't you just call Brother Daniels? Why don't you just harass him a little bit? Make him feel loved. But I didn't. Okay? He shall know you're my disciples by your love one to another. Not your love when you think about it, but you don't do anything. Hey, I'm confessing. I'm confessing. How many times have I sit on that? How many times, maybe, you know, and that's something I heard in the Godfrey meeting. I appreciate it. It's like, you know, a lot of times, I'll put this back on me again. I might as well be sitting on my hands going, no, Lord, you ain't using me today. No, I'm not getting up there because if I fall on my face, I'm going to look dumb and then people are going to make fun of me and it's just not going to be good, Lord. I'm thinking about me right then. I don't know that God might just say one thing through me that might help my brother or sister. How selfish is that? God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Once again, though, it's not that I just have these great words to be able to give, but God, if I'll just be a rock in His hand, at least I can be used. But I want to be that power tool in His hand. I want to be easily used. I don't want Him to have to hit me upside the head to get me out of my seat. I want to get up and say, Lord, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. What can I do for You today, God? But You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Hey, you know what? I'm all right with being peculiar. Have you seen any peculiar people in this world? Have you seen anything that you just look at and you just go, okay, Well, you know what? Let me be peculiar for Him. Let me be peculiar for my God. Let me take a little bit of persecution. You know what? Let me just take a little bit of it. Has He not done so much for me? Is He not worthy of it? He is more than worthy. You know, worthy, that relates back to us. He's God. He's God. Let me say it again. He's God. He is God. He is the creator of all. He's the one that designed this plan and through Christ has implemented this. If I raise my hands for the rest of my life, I have not come close to praising Him enough. If I say I love You, Lord, for the rest of my life, I haven't done enough. So I want to just do it out of a love, like you were saying, Brother Durham, not out of an obligation, not because of the writ of the law, because I love Him. Because I love Him. I don't want to offend Him. Lord, let the world be offended, but let me praise my Jesus. Let me say it again, Jesus. Jesus. There's no other name but His name. Jesus. Let me lift Him up. That ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Don't we have more light today? Don't we want more light? Don't we want Him to shine on us that sevenfold light? Which in time past, you know what? This is us all the way. Which in time past, we're not a people. I don't know. I could be wrong. I've been, not accused. I've been mistaken for being Jewish. I'm not. But I don't think that there's any natural Jews in here today. We weren't a people, Sister Inez. We weren't. What did Christ say to that woman? You know, it's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs. We were nothing. We were nothing. We were not a people. But look at, it doesn't stop there. But are now the people of God. We are now the people of God. How many times in the day do I forget that? How many times a day do I forget who my Father is? You know what? Take him to the playground? Hey, meet my dad. Meet my dad, bully. Here's my dad. Here's my Father in heaven. You know, not to be boisterous, not to just say it for its sake, but to understand whatever trial, whatever test, whatever tribulation, whatever persecution comes my way, I just need to lean on him. Isn't that what you've said before, Brother Talley? You know, it's like, you know what? You show me your trial, I'll show you my God. You show me your mountain, I'll show you my God. He is above any of those issues. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, I don't want to forget that today. You know, I've looked over my life, and I've thought about it. You know, when we go back to the Old Testament and reread through that, and the many, I don't know, Brother Durham, how many ordinances and laws? 613, okay? And you know, we read in that one place where on the Sabbath day, the guy was just picking up sticks. As far as the picking up sticks, that wasn't the law that said, thou shalt not pick up sticks. But there was the law that said, thou shalt do no servile work on the Sabbath day. He broke it. What happened to him? Did they spat him on the wrist? Did they say, no, no? No, he got stoned. How would I be alive today? If I lived under the law, have I made... Wow, Sister Inez, you're laughing. You're like, no, he'd be gone. Really? Wow, that hurts. No, I'm just saying, though, would I be alive? Would I be alive? But you know what? We're not under that old covenant. We're under his grace today. I want to understand that, but I don't want to take advantage of it. I don't want to, spiritually speaking, pick up sticks on the Sabbath day. You know what? This is a Sabbath day, and not because it's Sunday, because we're in here to worship the Lord. This is a day that I want to have my eyes on Him. Not just today, every day. Every day I want to find my rest in the Lord. Every day I want to realize I don't need to be picking up sticks. I don't need to be doing my own agenda. I need to be knowing what His will is today. I need to be lifting Him up today in everything that I do. I don't have to walk around waste management and go, thus saith the Lord, the dumpster shall be there tomorrow. Next thing you know, there's going to be guys in white jackets and coming in, thus saith the Lord, going that way and taking me away. But my actions speak louder than any words. If there's someone that's going through a trial there and they don't have God in that way, how can I even just say to him, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know a man who can take care of it. I serve a God who can take care of that issue that's going on in your life. You know what? It might just not be, boom, taken away. He's not a cosmic Santa Claus, as Brother Smith says, but he can give us the strength to endure those things, to go through them, and to get closer to him, because that's what we need to be in order to be a pillar in the house of the Lord. I just want to get up here and praise Him today. I want to thank Him for what He's done in my life. You know, I'm not done. I got a long way to go. But you know what? I'm not where I was. I'm one step closer to Him, and that's all right by me. And now tomorrow I'm going to take another step. Brother Paul, we're going to take another step. One more step. And who knows that next step? How's that song go? Is the greatest step? It may be the greatest step as we go on into this. You know what? It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time to serve the Lord. This is the day of our salvation. I don't want to take it for granted. So I just want to say I appreciate being here tonight. I appreciate being here in the house of the Lord, being able to feel that Spirit, being able to feel that Spirit. Oh, it's precious. Oh, it's precious, you know. Oh, God, I want to feel that Spirit, Lord. I want to feel more of Your Spirit, Lord. Oh, God. I don't want to be like that church in Corinth. I don't want to just speak in tongues or feel that Spirit for feeling its sake. I want to understand what it's for. I want it to be applying those words in my heart so I can be a little more like Him. So I can be that example that He's called me to be. So I just want to say I love this church, and let's go on. Let's praise Him today. Is he worthy of praise? Let's praise him today, church. Let's get out of our comfort zone right now. Will you praise him with me? I know I'm crazy, but be crazy with me a little bit. Let's praise him today. What do we want from him? What do we want from him? He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. Lift him up. Lift him up today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, and a two-edged sword in our hand. Thank you. up again. But, I have such a thankfulness in my heart for what I heard today. Brother Fisher, almost everything you spoke on is what the Lord has been talking to me about the last few weeks. I mean, almost everything. And even your illustration about the scaffolding and everything, where we came from, Brother Maine, he would talk about that a lot. And maybe I was the only one in that congregation that needed to hear it, but he talked about it all the time. And I can remember going home almost every service after he talked about it and be like, Lord, please don't just let me be a piece of the scaffolding and get thrown away. And that came to me last week. I was just sitting at home doing really nothing, and that thought came to me, and I could just hear Brother Maine in his voice saying that. And then when you got up and started talking about it this morning, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to show me? I know scaffolding is very important for building a project. It's, you know, it's very important. But like you said, once your building's done, once you've built what you're building, like in the older times, it would get thrown away. And I can remember, you know, thanking the Lord, you know, don't let me just be here doing my little part that I'm supposed to be doing, but then let it all be for naught and get thrown away at the end of your work. I don't want to just be a part of the scaffolding. I want to be a part of the actual building, the work that he's doing. And I want to be in. I want to be planted in here. And I want to do what he would have me do, whatever that may be. So many times I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, what is my job? What is my purpose? And I'm sure others pray that prayer. You know, a lot of times I've used my children, you know, as, you know, I'm a full-time mom. You know, that's a big job. You know, that's my job, you know. You know, bringing them to church and, you know, teaching them, you know, so they can be in this way, you know, not, you know, at some point in their life they're going to have to choose, like I had to, you know, am I here to stay or did I just come, you know, stay here because my parents and then leave. I had to make that choice and I pray, you know, so I know that's an important job. I'm not, you know, it's a very important job, but my work in his kingdom, you know, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I played in the band from the time I was sixth grade all the way up until a few years ago when I started having trouble with my health. And I've even tried to get back up there a couple times and got discouraged. So I don't know if I'm supposed to tough it out and keep trying to play or, you know, this is my where I'm supposed to be right now. If that's it, that's, you know, I accept that. But was it last Sunday night? I think it was. The Lord blessed. And I really needed that touch that night. So many times I've left thinking, Lord, you know, why am I here? You know, and I know he's here. He's been here. I've watched services. I've seen him move. So I know he's here. It's not him. It's me. And I know that. So last Sunday night, I can't even remember the song Sister Lynette played, but I felt like I was able to break through at a certain point, and I feel like I have victory in my heart over some things personally that I've been dealing with for several months now, and I feel like last Sunday night, the Lord just basically told me to let it go, let him take care of it, which is really hard to do. And I need y'all to pray for me that I can be obedient, because the Lord tells you to do something, you know, you do it, you know, you're going to suffer. So I desire y'all's prayers. I'm not discouraged. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I'm thankful he brought my family here. And I know I don't tell y'all enough that I love each and every one of y'all here, and you play a big role in my personal life. I don't tell you enough, but I could probably say something about each and every one of y'all here. And I'm just thankful for where I'm at, and I desire to move further and grow in the Lord, whatever He would have for me. But I couldn't go home without Brother Fisher. I feel like the Lord used you to talk to me today, and I want to be a part. I don't want to just be. I don't want to just be a help and then get thrown away later, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but so I just desire y'all's prayers, and I love each and every one of y'all.
When I first came here, I was a bit of a strange quirk. I was from out of town, and most of the people here were farmers, and they were used to steak at a meal, and me, I was somewhat of a vegetarian, and we'd have fellowships, and everybody would grab the ham, the steak, the chicken, whatever, and I was busy with the blender trying to do something different, and I got some looks, you know, like, boy, you are different. And but you know, you can take that blender and you can make it, put in one vegetable, make it taste this way, add another vegetable to it and make it totally something different. Or, you know, you can do whatever you want with it. Well, this house of the Lord is somewhat like that blender. We can come and get our spirits lifted. We can get taught. We can get directed. We can fellowship. And have it all blended together. Every service is different, but every service is what we need. Because all of us, like Brother Fisher was talking, that this was one of those weeks. There's a bunch of those weeks. And sometimes we don't think they get any easier. But in Romans, all things work together. So, and I've been spending a little more time with my pastor, and him and I have been talking a little more in depth, and he's giving me a lot of personal attention. We need to give each other more personal attention, because the Lord wants us to be attentive, because when we start getting our new influx, which will happen, we're going to have to start giving some real personal attention to those that haven't been taught like we have, that haven't got the knowledge, or haven't felt the Spirit, or, you know, a lot of churches, okay, in by 9, out by 12. Got something on the stove waiting for us at home. Here, it's when it's time to go home. We'll know it. If not, we'll stay and enjoy the Spirit, fellowship, or be taught. You know, when you go home, if you got nowhere to go, you stay home. You do what's got to be done. This is home. We do what's got to be done. Brother Philip, you're learning how to use that hammer. I enjoy listening to you work. And I enjoy listening to everybody work, because we all have a work the Lord has put into us. And we're all building a house. And we only have one contractor. Thank God.
I certainly appreciate what has been said and done and so far in this service today. And had it been good, you know, we could say amen, go to the house and say we've been in church. And, you know, God is so good to us. And I certainly appreciate what Sister Painter said concerning her children, that somewhere in the near future, they will have to make their own decision. And that's true with all young people, every one of us. And I went through it. There was a day that came in my life when I had to make a decision for me. My mom and my dad couldn't make that decision. It was up to me and the Lord. You know, He dealt with my life. And there for a while, I think that He probably felt like, I'm not sure if he's going to make the right decision or not. But I'm glad that I'm here in the body of Christ. I'm glad to be a part of God's great kingdom. And that seems like that's been on my mind over the last several weeks, really, that Jesus has a kingdom in this earth. I know that people, you know, they say when they think of a kingdom, they automatically think, well, it's got to be a king or, you know. And in reality, Jesus is the king of this kingdom. And he, you know, and it's called a family. It's called his people. We call it the body of Christ. I guess there's several names that you could put on it, but by and large, the bottom line is it's God's kingdom in the earth. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a natural kingdom, but it is natural. When you run into God's people somewhere, you can put your hand on them and feel them. You know that it's a natural kingdom, even though it's made up of spiritual things. And the thing that really stands out to me is when you are born into God's kingdom or into His family, you are a child of God. I don't care what you do, you're still a child of God. Now then, the thing about that is that we need to learn that, you know, somewhere along the line, God wants us to meet certain criteria. He wants us to come up to a certain standard. And I've made this statement before, but God didn't save us to kill us. He didn't save us to throw us in a trash pile. He didn't save us. He didn't deal with our lives to cause us to be lost. He saved us in order to save us. He wants us to be in the bride. That's what he's dealing with right now. That's what he's working on. He wants us to be bride members. And we can do it. I've got it made up in my mind. I can do it. Not within myself by any stretch of the imagination, but he called me for a special purpose. And I want to fulfill that purpose. I want to be a part of that purpose. I want to be a part of what God's going to do down through the ceaseless ages of eternity. And he's called me now and given me the opportunity. I want to take advantage of it. Well, you folks, you know, kind of pardon me if I get excited, but I can't hardly help myself when I consider where I come from, what I was, and where I'm at today. Thank God. Hallelujah. My Lord, what an opportunity we have. You know, and I realize that a lot of statements have been made down through the years, and I realize that a lot of those statements were not necessarily true. It was because of the time that we was in, it was because of the understanding that we had at that time, and we didn't know that, you know, we just didn't know. It's kind of like I made the statement here a while back in this church. You know, our young people can look at us and say, well, look, if you've been here for 50 years and you've not made the bride yet, you hadn't overcome yet, I hadn't got a prayer. Don't make that statement. Please don't make that statement. Because you can come in here at the very last hour and you can still get your pity. Hallelujah, you can still get your penny. Just because I've been working on it for all these years doesn't mean that I'm going to get two pennies. It means that I'm going to get my penny. That's what I started for. That's what I started for. When I, you know, when I give my life to the Lord, I agreed to work for Him for a penny. That's what I agreed on. Eternal life. That penny's going to be worth something one of these days. Hallelujah. Woo. I kind of feel like the farmer, you know, that went to church. He's kind of got beside themselves, you know, and he got beside himself. And the saint, you know, some of the deacons went to the pastor and said, look, you're going to have to tell Farmer Brown that he needs to kind of settle down when he comes to church. And so he went out and caught Farmer Brown plowing in the field with his team of mules. And so he started talking to him. He said, Farmer Brown, he said, the deacons have contacted me and said that when you come to church, you need to kind of settle down, calm down, be. Farmer Brown looked at him and said, well, Pastor, he said, I'll try my best. When I get to thinking about what God has done for me, opportunity he's given me, he said, hold these mules, I got to shout. So I kind of feel along those same lines. You know, and the thing that's so amazing about this, on top of that, is the fact that I'm not the only one in this church house that he's dealt with like that. He's given everybody that's sitting here the same opportunity that he's given me. You know, if you don't like me today, I'm trying my best to change. You know, I'm trying to get sweeter and kinder. And I really believe that you folks are trying to do the same thing. But the bottom line is, y'all might as well get used to me, because I'm going to be around a long, long, long time. You know, we got things to look forward to that a lot of people don't have. But we're in the body of Christ. We're among God's people. We're getting the truths of the Word of God fed to us. You know, I don't even know where to start on all this, because my thought is that, look, we got a chance. We got a chance at the greatest thing that God has available to us at this point. Oh, I was talking about these young people having this idea a while ago, that you ain't got a prayer, you do have. You're here today. We don't have the church restored yet. Do you realize that? We haven't got His perfect order working yet. We don't have all the things that we need yet. And I really appreciate Sister Painter's thought here concerning working. You know, she's kind of lost. She don't know whether she's supposed to play in the band or not. I really believe that she ought to be playing in the band. You know, but I don't want it to go against her health or, you know. But even though you're playing in the band, that doesn't mean you can't get up and talk. You know, because a lot of horn players, I've seen this happen, a lot of horn players, they use that horn as though it's a shield, and they can hide behind it. You ever seen that happen? So much for that. I'll get off of that and away from that. But I believe that everybody ought to work. When you come into church, you ought to work. There's a reason for that. We're not just coming to church for a social gathering. We can do that anywhere. We can go to a social gathering anywhere we want to. But we're here to find out something about God's kingdom and how that we can improve that kingdom. We can work on it. Brother Phil was talking about scaffolding a while ago. Did you know that scaffolding is really, really important? You got to have that stuff. And it's got to be made out of good material. You can't just have just rickety kind of scaffolding. You want something that's solid, that's going to be there for a while. And the reason that you want that is because you're going to be on top of it. I walked scaffolding. And I've been on some that I look back at it now and think, my God, what in the world ever enticed me to get on that stuff like that? The first time that I carried trusses, I helped my brother put some trusses on a house. And there was a wall. It was it had a two before on the top of it. That was it. And he told me, he said, Wayne, he said, I want you to walk that wall right there, you know, from here to yonder. And it looked like it was about as long as this banister right here. And there wasn't a brace on it nowhere. I looked at him, I said, you want me to walk that wall? And he said, yeah, you're better at balancing yourself than I am. I got on it and I walked it. Did you know walking back across it felt better to me? And the reason that it felt better to me is because, you know, same wall, same identical wall, same two before top, but I had the hold of a truss, and he had the other end. I knew he wasn't going to drop his end. I definitely wasn't going to drop mine. But it gave me some reassurance because my brother was on the other end. And I knew he wouldn't jostle it back and forth and mess me up. It helped me keep my balance. We carried that truss to the other end of the house and laid it down, went back and got another one. Every time I walked that wall, I had the same feeling when I went back to get that truss. When I got the truss, I had the same reassurance coming back the other direction. I want you to know that this brotherhood or this people in this church are not here trying to destroy one another. You're my brother. You're my sister. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to give you some strength. I want to give you something that will cause you to say, serving God was worth it. Hallelujah. It's worth it. I can do it. I can make it. Because if you read the scriptures, you'll find all the way through there that Christ is trying to help us just like His Heavenly Father helped Him. The reason that we haven't gotten any further than where we're at right now is because of our knowledge. We don't have the restored truth, not all of it. We're trying to get it. We're working on it. Help us to get it, will you? Would you get in and dig it out? You know, I've been in this body now for nearly 50 years. I guess I've been here for 50 years, haven't we? Nearly everything that I have in all these 50 years, everything that I've got right now, you people give it to me. God didn't just tilt me over one-sided, you know, and put a funnel in one of my ears and start pouring it in. He didn't do that. Y'all give it to me. And I'm so thrilled with it. I'm thrilled about it. I appreciate you sharing it with me, giving me what I have. I appreciate that. I can count on one hand the revelations that God give me directly. One hand. But I was, here's the thing about it. When God gives you a revelation, guess what you're supposed to do with it? Come to the house of God and share it with everybody. He doesn't just give you that for yourself. He doesn't give it for you, you know, to go home and say, well, I got something from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm here all by myself and God's dealing with me. He gave it to you and to I to share it with God's people. We're in the greatest thing that God has on the earth. Can you get that through your minds? Does it even seem real? You know, when we make that statement, it doesn't even seem real that we're in the greatest thing that God has available in the earth. That seems so far stretched. You know, and some people look at it and say, you're telling a big fat lie when you say that. All right, the opposite to that would have to be, we're not in the greatest thing that God has in the earth. Wouldn't that be the opposite of we're in the greatest thing God has in the earth? That's what I thought. I want to make sure. But did you know that if we made the statement that we're not in the greatest thing that God has in the earth, we'd be telling a big fat lie. We'd be lying. Just like Jesus, they accused him of lying one time. He said, if I turned it around, he said, then I would be restored. I wouldn't be telling the truth. But here we are. We're in the greatest thing that God has in the earth. And I know there's so many scriptures to back up what we're talking about. But I want to turn us to Ephesians, the second chapter. And the 11th verse, if I can find it here in my Bible. It was there a while ago. There's something here I want to point out to every one of us. That Paul, of course, he was writing to the Ephesians, but he wasn't just talking basically just to the Ephesians. Starts out, said, wherefore remember, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. This is actually the Israelite nation or the Jews calling those people that were not born among the Jews uncircumcision, or calling them Gentiles. And they were, you know, If you're born a Jew, you're a Jew. If you're not born a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's just the way it is. That's what Paul was saying. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There was a time that when you were born a Gentile, you didn't have a Chinaman's chance in anywhere. We was outside. God's kingdom was among the Jews. That was it. That's where he come back to. He come to the Jews. But listen to the rest of this. Without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank God for Jesus Christ to come to this world and shed his blood. Brought us in. Hallelujah! I'm excited about it. Hallelujah! For he is our peace who hath made both the Gentiles and the Jews one. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, talking about between the Jews and the Gentiles. Whoo, hallelujah! Thank God for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Woo! Hallelujah! That's just to get us into his kingdom. Look at what he done for us. We were outside. We were not in his among his people. We was on the outs. Without Christ and without God. Hallelujah. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Preached peace to the Gentiles which were far off and to the Jews. For through him we both shall have access by one Spirit unto the Father, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm in the kingdom. I'm a part of what God's doing. I'm a citizen in his great kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank God. Woo! With the saints and of the household of God. And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom all ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Woo, my Lord. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life, you're a citizen in his temple. Now, it's according to what you want to do with it. You know, we realize that our time element is, you know, kind of, we don't know when the church is going to be restored. We have a clue. We think we know somewhat about it. But we do know this for a fact. That what we do with our lives right now can determine whether we are just or unjust. We know that. If you want to go out in the world and just do whatever you want to do, that will cause you to be unjust before God. Not before me. I don't matter. These brethren here on the platform, they don't matter. This church house, it doesn't matter. But you can become unjust before God, and He's the one that matters. He is the one that matters. Hallelujah. So, you know, and we've seen people walk away. My wife and I, and Brother Glenn Weiniger and Sister Weiniger, Sister Annette. A lot of us have seen people go out. They're not eternally judged, but it makes a difference in when they will resurrect. You know, here's the thing. When I started out serving God, I wanted to serve Him. I really do. And I've watched some of these people that have left. And this is not a judgmental call, because God is still their God today, just like He was the day they was here. But we can make a difference as to whether God looks at us and He imparts to us, what's the word, that He imputes to us righteousness and causes us to be chosen as just. Or whether, you know, we can say, well, God, I don't really want to serve You. I want to go out and do my own thing. It will cause God to withdraw that imputation of being just. It'll cause you to be unjust. Go out in the world and do what you want to. But those people are going to resurrect. I will tell you a funny story, but it's kind of a personal type thing. But I know that there's people out here going to resurrect by the thousands, millions. Probably in the resurrection, some at least in the resurrection of the unjust. But the thing that I'm looking forward to personally, me. I'm talking about me now, not you, brother. I want to resurrect in the resurrection of the just. What that means is that we're living in a time when my lifespan may not reach out to the latter house restoration. I may depart this life, but if I can keep my spirit right toward all you good people, if I can keep my spirit right toward God, if I can keep my ideas and my mind focused toward trying to serve God with everything that's in me, then God will He will impute righteousness to me. And I can resurrect in the resurrection of the just. And I can do like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come up out of the grave. Go into the holy city. And be seen in many. Hallelujah. Now that may not mean nothing to you folks, but it means a lot to me, because I've been working on this thing for a long time. I want to see the church restored. I want to see it working. I want to see the glory of God shining forth. I want to hear the word of God as it comes forth unadulterated. Woo! No leaven. I want to see that pure bread. I want to feel that spirit. I want to feel what's going on. I want to see how God manifests Himself to this whole wide world. And it's going to happen. And I'll be there to see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'll be there. I'm not going to get on a train tonight, you know, departing this life, but if I happen to get out of here and don't make it to the house, your brother that preached my funeral, you just mark her down. He's coming back. He's coming back. And what the thing that excites me about it is that God is dealing with His people, and He's going to deal with them more. He's going to deal with His people first. He's going to reach out and begin to talk to hearts and cause them to begin to look back to the house of faith toward God again. He's giving you a chance, is what I'm saying. You know, look, I'm glad that God is as kind as He is, because, you know, if I was to be the one that's, you know, keeping notes, And I don't think God does it this way, but I have to because my mind's getting away from me. You know, if I was the one keeping notes, I'm not sure. There's some of you folks who might not make it back. Doesn't that sound horrible? But God, in His kindness and in His mercy, He deals with these hearts. And here they come. I'm thrilled to death to see them coming through the door. I'm excited about it because we can't build this by ourselves. You know, we need people like Brother and Sister Wallace. You know, we need you here. Brother John, we really need you here. Our brother and sister here that hadn't been here before, we need you here. We're working on a big project. You know, the Lord's dealing with us, touching our minds. You know, but I'm kind of curious. I really am. I'd like to know what has God put in your heart that I need in my life. You know, I seen your wife out here a while ago shouting and enjoying the Spirit of God. I know that God has put something in every one of your hearts and in your life that I need in mine. And I'm so glad you're here. I will tell you that I love you and appreciate you. And I'm thankful to be a part. I'm so thrilled to just be a part of this. You know, and my wife, I appreciate what Brother Wallace said a while ago concerning the fact that we need to probably be a little more attentive to each other. And I've told Sister McGowan back, it's been probably 2 or 3 years, maybe more than that now. I said, I don't feel like that I get across to everybody in our church like I'd really like to, that I love them. I appreciate them. Brother Whitey, I may not have told you, but I love you. I appreciate you. And, you know, it's easy to overlook some people. It's easy to bypass them. You know, when I come through the doors, I head for the platform, not because I don't want to speak to anybody, but normally I'm running just a little bit tight on time, and I got to get up here and get my horn out, and, you know, put it together, pick out the music to start with, or Brother Tally may already have it in his mind, but we touch base with each other. But aren't you glad to be in the house of God today? Aren't you glad to be, even more than that, aren't you glad to be in God's kingdom today? Be a part of what He's doing. I want you to know that if you're here, you've still got a chance. You can still be a great part of what's going on. You can help to restore the church. You can still work. You can still do something. Hallelujah. Just get in here and go to work. That's all you got to do. I appreciate God today and His great, great plan of salvation that He has for us.
Come forward, we'll take the offering up. We'll pray at the end of service.
Just to be a to me.
Quick reminder, no service tonight. The weather is going to be freezing here in just a little bit. It's real close to freezing right now. I want to, I didn't mention, but we got Sister Gail back today. And now, Brother Al's here. And Sister Gail's had to miss a lot of church of lately to take care of her mother. And it's kind of a big change at the house now. It was, they had Brenda and Wes and her mom there, and people coming all the time to see, come by to see Elsie and her while she is sick. And now it's just them three and the dogs out there. So get a chance, go out there and see them, have them over. She's got her. They all got a little more time now to get out and visit and see people. So yes, invite them for dinner. And Al likes to, and Al and Dave like to go to the races, guys, in the spring and go to races with them out there on I-30. They enjoy doing that. I want to say that we're also glad to have Brother and Sister Sane, did I say that right? Yeah, have them here with us and their participation in the service. And I want y'all to know that, as you can see, we're a friendly, inclusive bunch, and we sure love to have you come back and see us again, off as you like to. If you want to make you part of us, is what we'd like to do eventually. But to have you come back for sure. And Michelle, we're glad to have you today. I know Natalie's glad to have her mama sit with her in church today. Come often as you can, please. All right, let's pray for the needs we have here. I know Sister Dolores. Bryant. There is a Dolores Golden, I'm. Is that right? No. But anyway, Sister Dolores Bryant. She hurt her back. Brother Bryant said he had her help her move something around, and she messed her back up, and she's had issues with that. And so let's pray for her. Who else has any?
I know that people here don't know this lady, but a lady that I work with, that
what's her name?
Her name is Kathleen.
Kathleen. Pray for Kathleen. She lost a 5-year-old son. It's got to be just heartbreaking and traumatic for anybody to lose their child. Sister. Sister Donna needs prayer really bad. Angie Perry fell. Okay. Sister Inez. Yes, Curtis. Tiffany Curtis, may we pray for her? Her aunt was. I know she'd appreciate our prayer for that. Sister, what was that? Yes, brother Henry. I hadn't seen him in a while. Let's pray for Brother Henry. Mm-hmm. Mm. Sister Crow, yes. Sister Crow, well, Sister Gail back there had her hand up. What was the last part of what you said? Okay, family also traveling, going down that I-40 all the way out to Flagstaff, then south to Phoenix. I was looking at the radar. It is snowy out there. I don't know if they needed to pull over, Brother Matt. Reva's not feeling good. Pray for the Dominican meeting as well. Brother Painter. Oh, Brother Daniels. Pray for Brother Daniels. Okay. Let's do pray for Brother Daniels. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Brother Sister Crow, we mentioned them as well. Okay. All right. Yes. Cindy, she wants prayer. Her mother's having some tests done. Wants prayer as well. Somebody else say something? Sister Wallace. Oh, yeah, Shay. Let's remember Shay. I know she'd want y'all to pray for her. If anybody's got her number, give her a call. Send her a text. Tell her you're missing her. Okay. All right. And we'll, after we pray, we'll be dismissed. Lord, we take these needs before you today. We thank you for all the good words today and the good spirit that's fell here today. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to keep your touch Sister Crow and the crows. Get her through these shingles. And I know her desires to be in church. Touch this lady who lost her son, Kathleen. Lord, give her a peace. Give her comfort in this dark, terrible time and storm of her life, Lord. Remember Sister Donna and what she's going through. Sister Angie Perry. Keep your hand. Touch Sister Tiffany's aunt, oh God. Brother Bill Henry, oh God. Ratliff family, keep your hand on them as they travel. Sister Shay and Reva. Brother Daniels, oh God, keep your hand on him. Oh God. Hallelujah. Sister Inez, Lord. Sister Elder, my wife's. Lord, touch them. The Wallace family. Oh, God, dear Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Mm-mm. Brother Main up in Springdale or Lowell. We're asking you to be with them. Keep your hand on each one as they travel home today, Lord. Keep your hand them on tonight, tomorrow, going to work. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Amen, amen. All right. God bless. We'll see you Wednesday night.